In the name of Him who is God's light, amen. Our text is the lesson just read, especially its second line, "For I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Is there something that you can become very passionate about that captivates your energies and focuses your attention? In the fall of the year, some in the seminary community can become impiously passionate for the University of Michigan football team. Others are more piously passionate and root for the team named after our Lord's mother. It is good, isn't it, to be passionate at times, to be enthusiastic, to be engaged. And yet most of the passion in our culture is devoted to that which is transitory and ultimately trivial. There is a more profound and engaging passion that we need to consider. It's a passion, it's a desire, it's a will to control, to define what is happening all around us. In other words, to define how men and women understand and act upon their own identity. Alexander the Great was a man with such profound passion. He believed passionately that the Greek way of thinking and that the Greek way of living was the way. And so as his armies marched across the Mediterranean world and conquered, he became a passionate evangelist. And he was good. He shaped the world that our Lord was born into. He shaped the entire Mediterranean world, for when the Romans came in, they simply mimicked the model that the Greeks left. And one of the most effective evangelism techniques that Alexander used was the Greek city, the polis. And within that, he captured so many hearts and minds. For in every Greek city there was to be an agora, a marketplace. And in every Greek city there was to be a gymnasium, a sports area. And the third thing that was to be there was an entertainment district, an amphitheater area. And in all of those transactions and events, the Greek religion was to be repeatedly held up. It was a pervasive evangelism technique. It came at you from all sides, so that even devout Jews in the intertestamental period were converted to Hellenism, and the majority were won over to its ways, so that finally they didn't know Hebrew any longer. St. Paul went to such a culture, sophisticated, proper, prosperous. Corinth was defined by that sort of Hellenistic vigor that was the message of Alexander the Great. And he came with a message that didn't have all of those accoutrements. It wasn't going to pick up the great sports star or the great financier, but it was to undo that world. And I'd like for you to ponder for a moment our own setting. What makes people think around us? How do they understand themselves? Isn't it the case that if you take the area of consumerism, that many devote their lives to consuming more and more, or to an endless series of entertainments, or to sports, not as passionate sport, but as the meaning of why one is living. We have evangelism going on in our day that uses all of those same arenas to catechize people away from God, away from their own being. And it looks sometimes as though the pastor is mismatched. How can the words of a man undo such influences? Now a 40-inch plasma television has found its way into a seminary student's room. How can that Greek text woo him back to God? We need to keep our eyes wide open because we're all subject to this. And yet I would submit that it's here in this beautiful short sentence that Paul subverts the idols and releases us for God. I determined to know nothing except among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is where we see the bosom of the Father, where we see our own identity. And far from the transitory, far from the momentary, we sense that in the cross of Christ and Him crucified, there is reality. For there our sin is faced head on. It is laid on Him. Our adventures into entertainment and false passions are corrected because the passion of Christ for us is greater. His forgiveness is lavish, and at the font, the floods of His water join to His triune name, joined us to His cross and to His resurrection. And Paul, who recommends that he will know only Christ and Him crucified, a bit later to the Corinthians, held up all that meant, that the one on the cross would be resurrected and live, so that in that cross is all of history. From creation to incarnation, there is the fulfillment of the promise to Adam, to Abraham, to David, and to you and to me. The Word became flesh, and already at its baptism, Jesus identified with our emptiness. All those things that seem so influential are vapors and mists. The great cultures of Rome and Greece are gone, but the crucified one lives. He lives on high, but more than that, He lives for you, and He lives in you. For as you go from that font to that altar, you receive Him, not abstractly, but concretely in His body and blood. And His resurrection undoes every power of this earth. His crucifixion and resurrection undoes the power of the devil. So, you and I, the seminary, faithful pastors and laity, the church, we don't need to reach for entertainment. We don't need to reach for gimmicks, to manipulation. We need to hold up Christ and Him crucified. And we need to instill by God's grace in ourselves and in this world, a different furniture a furniture that's defined by the cross, and that looks to font and altar as life itself, where the living voice of Jesus, not an abstract, inerrant oracle from Delphi. No, the sacred scriptures are the living voice of Jesus, the incarnate Lord. And without him, they are as empty as an inerrant phone book. We Lutherans preach Christ and him crucified, and the apostles and prophets hold him up. And we go forth with confidence to undo this world as God will it, for we plant life where there is only death. We plant the beauty of God's love and grace where there is only decay and death. And I especially want to encourage my fellow pastors who sometimes plow very stony ground. You're doing the right thing when you preach Christ and him crucified and resurrected. And we at the seminary are doing the right thing when we rejoice in him and place academic endeavors in the service of that cross. For it is always the greater reality. The one who is incarnate there is our very life. And so St. Paul directs us away from this campus with just the right message: Jesus Christ and him crucified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.